Good morning. Very thankful to be here this morning. And I appreciate your prayers. I need them. The Lord's been talking to me recently about a thought. I'm going to write some words on the board if I can find a marker that works here. The Lord's been talking to me for several months about stewardship and different aspects of life. And I'm going to write another aspect on the board here. I've written on the board, stewards of our memory. And I'd like to start in the 78th chapter of Psalms. If you have your Bible, I'd appreciate it if you would look and read along with us this morning. 78th chapter of Psalms says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength and the wonderful works that He hath done." Why is that? The answer is in the seventh verse. We'll read the seventh and the eighth verse, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. In the 10th verse, it says, they kept not the commandment of God. This prior generation, it's talking about, and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. I've been reading it recently about this journey of the children of Israel through this wilderness where they left the land of Egypt. And you know, it's just incredible. The Lord led them out, and He was so particular with the way that He brought them from Egypt to Canaan. And He did so many wondrous things. And the Red Sea, there's no way to have any kind of a scientific explanation that's purely scientific on its own and say, well, you know, the wind blew. Yeah, it says that the wind blew, but the power of God was really what made the Red Sea part like that. You can't get a natural wind that's strong enough by itself to cause it to part. And then after it parts, the bottom of the Red Sea was probably 4 foot deep in mud. But He caused it to all be made where they could go right through there. And then He caused it was a path for the Egyptians, and they started through, and the very path that He made was something that was a help and a strength to the Israelites. But that very same path was something that became the destruction of the stubborn and hard-hearted Egyptians. And they saw that. The children of Israel saw. It's not the only thing that they saw. The pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. It says that it was a light and a direction and a guide to the children of Israel, and a protection. It was a help to them. But the very same pillar of fire and cloud was to the Egyptians' darkness, where they couldn't see where to go, they couldn't get to the children of Israel. It said the very same pillar of cloud and of fire was a darkness to the Egyptians. You know, that's the way the Lord works. And I just want to give this as an aside. In Proverbs 10 and 29, it says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but it says it shall be destruction to the wicked. And that word shall be is added by the translators, but what the meaning of that verse really is, that the way of the Lord is strength. I heard this brought out recently in a message, the word of the Lord is strength to the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But that very same way is destruction to the wicked. We have something to do with how we are going to be successful in life. There's something, and God offers a way. It's something that He offers us to walk in. It's His desire that we be successful, that we prosper, that we have a good life in every way. But the Lord's way can also be, it says the way of transgressors is hard. And that was the way of the Egyptians. They followed in the very same path. And the children of Israel saw that. How can you ever forget something like that? You see that and you say, the way of the Lord was something that was a great help to me. But to the people that were against God, it proved to be their destruction, the very same way. And so the children of Israel came away with a song, the song of Moses, horse and rider. He's thrown into the sea. They came away with rejoicing, with song. How could you ever forget that? How could you ever go away and say, no, that wasn't really anything. Never mind the fact that now you're in a completely different country than you were. Remember the beatings and the affliction, the toil. You're going to gather bricks without straw. That's what Pharaoh told them. We're going to kill all your male babies, throw them to the crocodiles in the Nile. And they're in a different place. Psalm 78 says, we don't want to be like our fathers who forgot those mighty works. It says they kept not the command. Marvelous things He did in, this is the verse 12, in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt and in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. He did so much for them when they were on the way to Canaan, even after they got to Canaan. Remember the manna? They got to the place in the land of Canaan, started to conquer. They still ate manna because they didn't have access to all the grapes and the good things. And the manna did not cease until after they had been able to get their own substance in the land of Canaan. Marvelous what He did. It said that He brought streams also out of the rocks, out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yes, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You know what their problem was? They forgot. They didn't forget in the same way that that I would leave and go to the store and my wife would ask me to get eggs and milk and bread, and I would get eggs and milk and forget the bread. That's not the way that they forgot. God doesn't hold people responsible for something that they can't help a total mistake. God doesn't hold people responsible for that. But the indication here is that they discounted or they neglected to keep it fresh in their minds. It was something that they kind of absorbed. Human nature is to absorb all the good things that the Lord gives us and to discount them, to just kind of absorb them, to take them, but then to complain about the bad things. Look at America today. We are one of the most, if not the most, prosperous nation that has ever been. We have prosperity everywhere. Look at the statistics that people, that you can see about the spending at Christmas and Black Friday. People buy and buy and buy. We have cars and we have computers and we have phones and we have heat and we have internet and we have all the things. And yet, It is so hard for people to be content in this land. The Lord has done so much for us. We have the Bible. 600 years ago, the Bible wasn't even allowed to be printed in the English language, or really in any language. The German people, they didn't have a German Bible. We have freedom to worship here. Look at us. We're sitting in this warm chapel this morning. We have carpet on the floor. We don't have dirt on the floor like they do in Kenya. We have chairs. We have heat. We have light. We have trim on the ceiling that we don't even need. It's beautiful. That's really all that you can say about it. It's pretty. There's nothing wrong with some of that. But can we all agree that the Lord has been so very good to us this morning? And we and the Lord has given us our mind and our memory. And what we do with the things that the Lord gives us is totally our responsibility. It's totally up to us. Look what he says in Psalm 78 and 19. It says, "Yea, they spake against God, and they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Now, I'd like to just back up just a little bit. It says that they forgot his works and his wonders that they had showed them. But then in the 20th verse, it says, "Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed." So they remembered that. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? It's as if the people absorbed all the things that the Lord gave them and then discounted it and said, "Well, yeah, he might have done this." Yeah, if you would have asked any of them, every last one of them would have remembered passing through the Red Sea. It's not as if it passed from their memory entirely, but it passed from the seat of their working consciousness, where they no longer used it to as an anchor, as a grounding for their faith. It was something that had passed into oblivion in a way where, yes, they still remembered it, but it just kind of was dead to them. It wasn't alive anymore. It was something that was in the past. And so then they faced problems. They got hungry. Really, they weren't hungry at all. They had manna. But they said, "We want meat. This manna's not enough. But God can't give us meat." And all the while he was raining down the manna, and God was angry. So there's that. The writer of this psalm said, "I don't want to be like that. I want to be," and these are my words, "I want to be more like the Joshua and all the people that after they crossed." Let's turn to Joshua and we'll look at how they did. So much better of a way. You know, it's easy for us to forget, and they knew it. And it's easy for things to pass out of our consciousness. And yeah, we still remember them, but we've kind of become desensitized, and they're not something that stays in our mind anymore. And so we start worrying and we start fretting. We say, "Well, yeah, I know God did this and he did that over here, but I've got this problem over here and I just can't sleep at night because of it. And I'm worried all about it." They knew this in Joshua, the 4th chapter. These men wholly followed the Lord. It says that Caleb and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. And they conquered all the land that the Lord gave them because they wholly followed the Lord. And so in the 4th chapter, it said, "It came to pass when all the people," 4th chapter of Joshua, "when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones." Right? Out of the middle of the river. They crossed over. This is the second time that the Lord had opened a river and they had dry ground to cross over. Didn't have a crowd of Egyptians following them that time, but they had a crowd of Canaanites waiting for them on the other side. And so they crossed over Jordan and Joshua said, "All right, this is what we're going to do, okay? It's easy for us to forget and to put in the past what the Lord's done for us. So we're going to set up a memorial lest we forget." And Joshua said, And really, the Lord's the one that commanded it in the first place. But they did it. They obeyed. So Joshua said unto them in the fifth verse, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and there they are. They are there unto this day. And so what they did, they made a memorial. In a place where normally it would be impossible to make a memorial. They had 12 big rocks. Maybe they went to where the Jordan was kind of shallow right there. I don't know what they did. Maybe they made a platform out of stones. I don't know. But what I do know is that when the waters of the Jordan came back and they were flowing, out there in the middle of the river where nobody can normally get to is a pile of stones. A memorial. Maybe they cemented them together. I don't know what they did. But they made them in such a way where they could go in generations to come. When this book was written, it was quite a few years after that this happened. And it said they are there to this day. They came and they set them up. And the memorial was that our feet were right there. And it was dry ground there. We couldn't have done it. The Lord did it. And we have this memorial there. And we're going to go back, and every time that we see it, maybe they had a bridge later that went near there. And I can just imagine that every time that they walked by there, maybe some child would say, Daddy, what's that pile of rocks out in the middle? And the daddy might say, I saw that take place. Or, I was one of the ones that laid those rocks. Son, the waters, we didn't have any way to cross the river. And the Lord opened up a way, and He removed the water, and He dried out the ground, and we walked over, and we put these rocks right there in the middle. And son, the Lord can do big things for you too. And He wants to. You know, we don't live in the past this morning. We don't live in the past. But we use the past to live in the present and the future. We take things. The Lord wants us to establish things forever in our minds. He wants to do things for you and for me, and He has done things. You know, the Lord does not expect us to have a blind faith in the sense that the Lord's never done anything for me, but I'm going to serve Him anyway. If you think back in your mind, I am sure that every one of us can go back to times, be honest now, go back to times where I prayed and the Lord did this for me. I needed an answer and the Lord showed me. But you know, it's very easy for us to forget. You know that when we go to a revival or camp meeting, there's an atmosphere there that the Lord talks to us and maybe shows us a need. And we go to the altar, and or maybe the Lord stirs us, and we make a promise to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to move up in this area. If you will give me the grace and help me. You know that, well, let's get this verse in James 1 and 22. I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I love camp meetings. I love revivals. I love special times where the Lord talks to my heart. I don't even have to be at a camp meeting to do that. Sometimes I can be praying and the Lord will meet. Just a few weeks ago, I had a real need and I was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, I don't feel like I can go on. I had something in my life that had cropped up that was an obstacle to me continuing. And I didn't feel like, I didn't know where the strength was going to come from. There was a question I had that I did not know the answer to, and I did not know how I could go on without the answer. And you know, the Lord met me and gave me the answer. It was after a couple weeks of praying and seeking the Lord. But one morning, the Lord met me and gave me such a clear answer that it cleared up everything. But you know what? You know what happened? Time passed. And after a while, it kind of faded into the recesses of my memory. You know, we are responsible for what we do with the Lord, with what the Lord has previously given to us. That's what it means when I say stewards of our memory. The Lord gives us, we can't come up with the instances. We can't part the Jordan River. We can't make the water, the riverbank dry. But we can pass over and we can remember and we can set up stones. We can set up stones. The Lord's not going to set up the stones. He's going to do the works. We have to set up the stones, all right? And so the time passed, and after a little while, so I had some of the very same problems crop up again very recently, and my mind started going and working, and you know what? I had to go back and I had to say, no, this is the answer the Lord gave me. I'm going to stand on what the Lord gave me. There's no point in trying to pray for a new answer. Lord, what do you want me to do? No, the Lord already showed me. I've got to go back and I've got to remember what the Lord did for me. In 1 Kings, we won't turn there, but Solomon was a man that was greatly endowed by God with wisdom, riches, and honor. He was one of the most blessed kings that we read about in the Old Testament. The Lord gave him wisdom. He wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. We still glean from the wealth that the Lord gave him. You know that somebody like that, who had all the wisdom, was still required to be a steward of his own memory. It says in 1 Kings 11:9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Twice. All right? Not every day. The Lord is not going to come and give you a revelation every day. All right? But the Lord is going to come at different times in your life, and it'll be a defining moment in your life. It might be something you have to fast and seek the Lord for, or it might be something that the Lord just comes and drops upon you. We are responsible for as long as we are capable, for as long as we live, and as long as our memory holds out, we are responsible to take those things and set them up for an everlasting memorial in our minds, and not to violate them and go back and say, well, I know the Lord talked to me about that. I just don't see it the same way anymore. The Lord said in James, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. This is what I appreciate about these times where the Lord visits. At camp meeting, in a revival, something like that, and the Lord speaks to you and you feel this sense of conviction. I've noticed that at funerals, that people tend to be somebody that you might think, oh, they're way out there. They tend to be a lot softer and more mellow at those times of mourning. You know, it's those kind of times when the Lord draws near and he kind of holds a mirror up to you and he says, this is who you are. Will you let me help you change that? This is the problem you have here. This is the need you have here. Those times are the times that we need to grab hold of. Now is the time. Whenever the Lord deals with you about something, you know why? Because those moments fade. Camp meeting, the atmosphere, camp meeting, the atmosphere of revival, the air of conviction, that fades. And it's not there anymore, but we're still responsible. It says that if anybody beholdeth himself and goeth his way, or in other words, doesn't do anything about what the Lord has showed him, forgets. If he forgets, then it says he straightway forgets. If you forget what the Lord showed you, then you forget who you are, you see. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the Lord told the children of Israel, he said, it shall be in Deuteronomy 6 and 10, when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged that thou digst not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And that is why that the writer of Psalm 78 and the people in the days of Joshua said, we're going to set up these memorials. You can set up memorials in many different areas of your life, even from the failures, all right? David did. If you turn with me to Psalms 51, we will read a very penitent prayer by David. This was after his affair with Bathsheba. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. I remember a very difficult time in my life where I had made a very deep failure. And the Lord came to me and dealt with me very strongly. And this verse came to me, my sin is ever before me. We need to recognize the places. In Hebrews 12, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The things that are weaknesses in my life are not necessarily the things that are weaknesses in your life. We have, every one of us though has weaknesses and things that are propensities. It's very easy for me to fall here. Might not be easy for you to fall here, but it will be easy for you to fall in another area. Maybe you have fallen here before and you recognize this is something that it's easy for me to do. It's easy for me to get careless here. And so I am going to keep these things ever before me. I'm going to keep it in my memory. I'm going to keep it fresh. I'm going to be on guard. You ever buy a new car? Well, I haven't ever bought one that was brand new, but I've had plenty of new to me cars. And it seems like I just remember in particular the last family van we bought. We bought it and it smelled so good inside. And it was all nice and clean. And it's not like that anymore. And when I bought it, I had another van, and that looks about like mine looks now. And I said, we are going to keep this van clean. So easy for us to trash this thing out. We're going to keep it clean. We need to try. We need to see what we can do. We need to figure out what causes us to do that. What causes us to trash it out like that? Well, that new smell was there. It was just this atmosphere when I step into the car, that smell, you know, the new car smell. It was just there, and the floor was all clean, and the dash wasn't dusty, and I didn't have to scrape the clock with my fingers to scrape the dust off so I could see what time it was. And so because of that, just the way I felt when I got into it, it made me want to keep it clean. So I said, okay, we're gonna do this. We're gonna keep it clean. I remember when I was a boy, I remember we did the same thing. We'd buy a new car, and mom and dad would say, okay, we're gonna keep it clean. And we would for a few weeks. It'd be really nice. And we did for a few weeks too. You know, that might be okay with a car, but we have things in our life that are really easy for us to just kind of lapse. And we forget and we say, you know what? I did that. And then we forget what made us do it. We forget what the steps that caused this failure. David said, my sin is ever before me. I'm not going to do that again. If you look at the story of him and Bathsheba, there was a series, a chain of events that led up to that failure. It wasn't just something that all of a sudden he was faithful to God and he was spiritual and boom, all of a sudden he had this failure. It doesn't happen like that. Sins happen when we get careless and we let things lapse. Things that maybe we once held very strong convictions on. And we just kind of get careless with life. There are things in my life right now that I have to keep reminding myself. No, I'm going to hold this. No, I'm going to keep. And we can look and we can say, well, nothing's happened. I'm going to give you a modern day example. We have a gate. We live behind a gate at home. And I was told when we moved there, you know, there's some bad stuff on this road. Y'all need to protect yourselves. And they said, oh, there's this person down here that steals stuff. And then there's some drugs over here. And you need... Well, so we set up a gate and a fence, a metal fence. And we started locking it every night. You know, after about 2 or 3 years of that, it started getting really old. And I didn't want to go lock the gate at night. And you know, and one night I thought, you know what? Nothing's happened. Maybe I can just start leaving the gate open. Nothing's happened. You know that it's very easy. It's so part of our human nature for us to take past events like that and say, you know what? Nothing's happened, so I can be a little bit relaxed here. You know that maybe the reason that nothing's happened is because that prior to this, I've always kept the gate closed. And so we forget about that kind of thing. Well, maybe nothing's happened because you've been careful. And so maybe if you let down on this, but our mind tells us, well, nothing's happened, so maybe I can relax here. All right? It's a trick. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that trick. So I want to shift focus a little bit, and I want to talk about Job for a little bit. Job 1 and 20. Remember the story of Job? He lost just about everything. It says that he was the greatest of all the men of the East. He had thousands and thousands. I'm not even going to try to remember how many thousand of each kind of animal he had, but he had thousands of animals. And it said he had a very great household. So I'm guessing he had a very great house. And he had 10 children. And they had houses. And we know the story. God and the devil had a conversation, and God said, all right, I'm going to let the hedge down a little bit. The devil said he wouldn't serve you if you didn't have a hedge about him. God said, all right, I'm going to remove the hedge. Only spare his life. Well, first he said don't touch him. And then the devil came before him again and said, look, this isn't fair. He still retains his integrity because I can't touch him. Yeah, he might have lost everything, but he's still healthy and he's doing fine. And God said, all right, as long as he's living and breathing, you can do anything you want to. And so the devil did. And Job 1 and 20, it said, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what Job did? He remembered. He had in his memory what the Lord had done. And he said, if the Lord takes everything away from me that I have, all it is that he's putting forth his hand and he's taken back that which he previously gave. I started with nothing. And if he takes me all the way back down to nothing, it will be nothing less than fair. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His wife did not have that kind of memory, unfortunately. She was not a good steward. You know that she had been with Job. It said that he had 10 children. So they had been married for a while. She was with him. She no doubt saw him gain in prosperity, saw his flocks and his herds and his money and his children multiply. And then when it was all taken away, she became bitter. She said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? That's in Job 2:9. Curse God and die. She did not have, you know, she saw the same thing that Job did. She knew exactly the same things that Job did, but she made a choice. I am not going, it was something that she kind of absorbed the good things in life. She didn't retain the memory of where they came from. She didn't keep the confidence in the Lord. Lord, this is where it came. Remember what the Lord told the children of Israel. Beware that when your houses and all this, when everything gets full, beware that you forget the Lord. And you know why? Because when those things get taken away, then where's the Lord? The Lord, why'd the Lord take all this stuff away? No. You forgot that the Lord gave it to you in the first place. And this is what Job's wife forgot. She said, curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. We tend, especially here in America. You know, I have been to Kenya. And over there in Kenya, you do the smallest thing for somebody, and thank you. And they're so grateful, and they're so happy, and it seems like they're more happy and they're more joyful in their services, and they're more thankful for small things. And here we're like, I got the wrong color iPad for Christmas and I'm all upset. What is wrong with us? We tend to forget the good things that the Lord gives us, and we just kind of absorb them, and then we're angry when a little bit gets taken away. Oh, you know, this tree fell down in my yard, and you know, that's actually a real thing. Right now I have 4 pine trees down in my yard because they're getting a disease and my whole row of pines is just toppling over. The Lord has been so good to us though. And he's given us, you know, we're all here, we're all reasonably healthy, and we have this building worship in, and the policemen aren't coming, and KGB's not coming in and shutting us down. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for. Shall we not receive good? Or shall we receive good? And shall we not receive evil? I want to tell you that we are stewards of our memory, what the Lord does for us. And we need to retain all the blessings, all the revelations, all the joys, all of the consolations and comforts that the Lord has given us. And then when something comes that is adversity, we can say, the Lord has given. And yes, the Lord has taken some away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. If anyone ever had what you would call a right to be bitter, it would be Joseph in the Old Testament. I want you to think about him just a little bit. He was 17 years old when he was sold into Egypt. All right? But we can tell by reading the story of Joseph that he was already well grounded and had a relationship with God. God sent him those dreams where it was dreams of the future, where remember the dream where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. And then he had another dream, and it's escaped my memory right now, but he had those two dreams. And he was in the field and he had a sheaf, and all 11 other sheaves bowed down to his. And so he knew that the Lord was going, someday the Lord was going to do something for him that he was going to be in that position. But he didn't take it as I'm better than you all. I know he didn't take it like that, because he sure could have exacted that feeling upon his brothers and his dad later on. He didn't do that. But he got thrown into the pit. Then he got taken and sold as a slave into Egypt. Then it said that he was made master over Potiphar's household. He got falsely accused, something he didn't do, and got thrown into prison. And he's there in prison. You know, it would have been so easy for him to say, "The Lord hath dealt very hard with me." You know, Naomi, I think it was Naomi, said when she came back from the land of Moab, they called her Naomi when she got back to Israel, and she said, "Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me." Very different attitude than Job or Joseph. Both of those, it said that they were faithful in everything that they did. It says that about Job and it says that about Joseph. When he was in the prison, he was faithful and he retained his integrity with God. And he never got hard and shriveled up in his soul and bitter. And then, do you know what happened? When Joseph was raised up out of prison, you know why? It's because the Lord let him interpret a dream. Did you know that? Okay, so he got raised from prison to being second in command to Pharaoh. And if that dream, you know, the Lord would have never given him that dream if he would have been all bitter inside. And he would have missed his opportunity. But he retained his integrity and he retained his knowledge of the Lord and what the Lord had done, and he kept it, and he said, "Lord, I don't know. I'm putting words in his mouth a little bit, but I'm sure that there were times of darkness and clouds," and he said, "Lord, I don't know where you are right now, but I know that you are somehow guiding my life. I'm going to live for you the very best way I know how." And then it says when in Genesis 50 and 15, it said when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. This was after they came to the land of Canaan. And they had lived there for quite a while, and Jacob had lived there. They said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." They said, "Joseph has just been waiting for our dad to die. Now that he's dead, we are going to repay him, or he is going to repay us for everything he did." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren went also and fell down before his face and said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." You know that it was not at that point that he forgave his brothers. It was not at the point where he saw them come in the door when he was the overseer of Egypt. It was way before that that he forgave them in his heart. Because it says in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 50, and this is one of the most powerful scriptures to me. The Lord has spoken to me with these scriptures and helped me to see things that, you know, if Joseph can do it, and if Job can do it, by the help of God, you and I can do these things too. Genesis 41 and 50, it says unto Joseph, this is after he was raised up to be second in command, "Joseph, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, the priest of On, bare unto him." It says, "Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God," said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Does it mean that he totally forgot, that he didn't remember the pit and the injustice done to him by his brothers? No, but the Lord helped him to be able to take those things and say, this is something that was all part of God's plan. And at the time when he named his sons that, I don't think that he even realized the full extent of where God's plan was taking him. But he had made up his mind, I am not going to hold this. I'm not going to keep this in my memory. Shall I receive good from God and not evil? I'm going to take this. I'm going to commit it to God. I'm going to forgive my brothers. I'm going to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And he named his two sons that because he was able, by the help of the Lord, to achieve a complete victory in his mind over the things that would want to drag him down into the pit of despair and bondage to bitterness and hate. And the Lord wants us to be able to do those very same things this morning. I want to tell you that it is our responsibility entirely what we do with the things that happen to us in life. The memories that we have and what we do with them. We can take little offenses and bitternesses and we can enshrine them and ensconce them forever in our hearts. And say, I cannot forgive, or I cannot get past this. I have problems because this happened to me. But no, Joseph did not make that excuse. He named one of his sons Ephraim because he said, the Lord has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't have an excuse that's good enough to prevent me from accomplishing God's will in my life. I'm going to accomplish it anyway. The Lord has made me to forget all of the bad things. That doesn't mean that they're purged from my mind, but that means that they're sanctified and consecrated to God, where I can go and I can be fruitful and I can forgive and I can have a relationship. You know, forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Joseph forgave his brothers, but still, when they came, you know, he wanted to be friends with them. And so that is why he led them through those tests and he said, you're spies. And he put them through all kinds of testing because he wanted to see what they were like. He wanted to see if he could have a relationship and trust them again. And so that is why he did that. And that is a very important part of making amends. Sometimes we aren't able to do those things or to the extent that we want, but we don't have to do any of that to forgive from our heart. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. And now I want to read a little poem at the closing here. It says, if you've not been treated right, just forget it. Don't get ready for a fight. Just forget it. Life's too short to hold a grudge. Twill your happiness be smudge. Anyway, you're not the judge, so forget it. If you've been misunderstood, just forget it. Say I did the best I could, then forget it. If you can't have your own way, don't be small enough to say, well, I guess I just won't play, but forget it. If somebody slanders you, just forget it. Say I'm glad it isn't true, then forget it. Even if you lose a friend and the breach you cannot mend, it will pay you in the end to just forget it. And I would like to challenge each one of us this morning. Make us aware that the things that happen to us are not in our control, but they're in God's. And there are things that will happen to us that will greatly hurt us and offend us. And there are blessings and things that the Lord will give to us. Those things are not in our control either. But what we do with it is entirely in our control. It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to be forever grateful and thankful and hold in remembrance the blessings and the Ebenezer stones that the Lord has given to us to set up. What if Joshua and his men had just dumped the stones beside the river and say, we got to fight giants when we're in a hurry. We'll come back and do this later. Next time they come back, maybe the tide had washed it away. Maybe they couldn't find the place again. It's our responsibility to take those times and set up those things and keep them ever before us. It's our responsibility to remember the blessings of the Lord. It's our responsibility to remember our besetting sins and our weaknesses. It's our responsibility to remember the good things in life and not let them be overshadowed by the offenses and the adversities. It's our responsibility to consecrate our memory to the Lord. You pray for me.